8:13. Hear about old Tim Murray?
What?
Yeah.
What?
Tim was in an accident. Tim was driving 108.
Is he all right?
Yeah, well, yeah. He's all right now. Tim was driving 108 miles an hour moments before his car sped off the highway and overturned.
Yeah, but he started to slow down then.
Yeah. Well, that happened back in November, but according to those police reports that came out yesterday, that's what happened. Now, Tim walked away with just a few scrapes and bruises, and he may have briefly fallen asleep behind the wheel. We're not sure because there was no attempt to brake before the accident.
Yeah.
Tim got a $555 ticket for speeding and not wearing his seatbelt and a lane violation.
Oh, not
guess,
that.
Well, when you roll over, I guess that is a lane violation.
Yeah, because he didn't signal.
Yeah, exactly. Now, for his part, Tim says he takes full responsibility for that accident.
For him falling asleep?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Did I mention that Tim is lieutenant governor of the state of Massachusetts?
Oh.
I don't think I mentioned that, did I?
I knew there was going to be something special about Tim.
Here's the part that I found fabulous, and that was, the report appears to be at odds with comments that Mr. Murray made immediately after the accident.
Well, he was shook up.
Do they have a problem with that in Massachusetts? Just saying, elected officials and accidents while driving.
Saying. You're going back in history aren't you?
Anyway, splishy splashy.
Yeah, just a little story there for you. All right, 8:15.
Talking ill of the spire.
No, I'm not. I was just saying that maybe happens more than once.
See. Yeah.
Jason Mayansky joins us this morning. Mayor Brian, how are you today?
Good morning, Scott. Happy New Year.
Yeah, and you too. I don't think you've been in since everything was finalized as far as the biomedical corridor is concerned and the interlocal agreement. And it's always good when cities can get together for the good of the entire area. And I guess kind of in a nutshell, that's what happened there.
Well, it was a successful month of December between the cities of Bryan and Colossation. I mean, there were many things that we came together on, not only the biomedical corridor, but other things that the two cities have been working on for years and for the past year. And we put everything to rest in 2011 and came to agreement on many issues. And so 2012 looks to be very prosperous and will be effective for both the city of Bryan and Colossal Station. But we did officially sign off on the biomedical corridor agreement between the two city councils. Not often that the two city councils get together and meet. I think we need to look at meeting more often to talk about ways we can improve the two cities and more efficient government. But by doing so, we're going to share in some of the construction costs, some of the infrastructure costs between the two cities. There won't be a border between the two. We'll erase those lines, so to speak, and the two will merge. And we have joint development standards. We're sharing the tax revenue from the area. Sewer service will be provided by Bryan, water provided by Colossal Station. But then we go on the east side of town. Colossal Station will be providing sewer on the east side of town so Bryan can develop down Highway 30. So it's, you know, it makes sense.
It's not a theirs and ours kind of deal. It's where everybody's in it together.
It's what should have been done many, many years ago. So we're able to provide that service with our new sewer treatment plant on the west side, and they've got the capability of providing, and they're already providing Central Baptist Church on the east side. That's provided by College Station. So, you know, we can expand on the east. They can expand on the west down Highway 60. So it's a wonderful opportunity between the two cities that's going to be beneficial in bringing jobs and opportunities for our citizens here.
Let's talk about there are going to be some infrastructure needs in the future. That's going to have to be funded. Where's that money going to come from where you have to start doing some of the infrastructure things as development continues?
Well, the Health Science Center Parkway is going to be one of the more current needs that we're going to have to focus on, and that's going to be split between the two cities. So we'll be looking at our capital improvement program and seeing what we can do on trying to get that taken care of. But, you know, originally we were looking at paying 100% of those costs in the city of Bryan. Now we'll have a partner with College Station to pay half of that. And I think by pulling in some of these projects together, we can save some money there on some of the bid processes. So, you know, of course, with all the new businesses that are locating out there and fixing to locate out there, new tax revenue will be brought in. So I think that'll also help offset some of these costs.
Jason Mayansky, the mayor of Bryan, joining us this morning. Some discussion made a little bit of a ripple when BTU laid off some meter readers. We're having more automated meters being installed, and so as a result, individuals don't have to go into people's yards or on their property to read the meters. But at the same time, they were reading water meters as well. So there's going to be some services that there's a hole right there. Kind of explain to me what kind of information was given to those meter readers prior to the best of your knowledge, since BTU is not directly under you, to the best of your knowledge, how they were informed, were they informed in advance that those jobs would be eliminated, and where does that leave the city of Bryan, because you've also entered into a contract to have the water meters read?
Absolutely. Well, those employees were BTU employees, so they weren't direct city employees that we deal with on a day-by-day basis. I think there were 10 employees. My understanding is 5 of them were temporary employees, 5 of them were regular employees, from what we were told by the administration over there. Several of them were set to retire. I think one gentleman's very close to 20 years, and I think we'll be retiring shortly. But you've got so a few people, I think, that might be laid off there. We would need anywhere from probably 3 to 5 meter readers if we were to continue that. We're gonna be swapping and transferring over in the next probably 3 to 5 years to the AMI meters on the water side. So, you know, we didn't want to have to, you know, if we absorb those employees into the city of Bryan, you know, there could be some future layoffs in the future. But again, we have been outsourcing over the past few years at the city of Bryan in many aspects, and we're looking at saving cost, and we've come up as a council and agreed that this would be a cost-saving measure by outsourcing this. I know there was some mention in other media sources and maybe by other council members that it's going to cost $20,000 more a year, but what's not taken into consideration is the cost of the equipment, the handheld equipment, the software, the hardware, and all that's involved, the vehicles involved in reading the meters. And so combined with the personnel cost, we're looking at a cost savings to the taxpayers over the next few years. And, again, we're going to be shifting over to the AMI meters here shortly in the next 3 to 5 years.
Okay, so now does that saving, as you're mentioning, also take into account the expense of cost of the meters and installation of the new AMIs?
We haven't gotten into the cost of the new AMI meters for the water side of that. That's something that we decided not to do currently, but we'll be evaluating in the near future. So that'll be something we'll have to evaluate. And one thing on the employees, my understanding as of yesterday, 3 to 4 of those employees were hired by the company here that we hired, the Alexander Company, to come in and work on the private side. So some of them were absorbed.
Kind of, again, to do an overview, City of College Station seems to have taken a position with their water department that they wanted to go ahead and change their rate structure so that they would be able to support any kind of infrastructure improvements they had to have in the future, as opposed to maybe floating bonds. As one member of council, what is your thought? Because obviously we're talking, I don't know what those meters cost, but the new meters are going to cost something. Installation is going to cost time. There's going to be all sorts of things that need to be done. As one member of council, what do you believe is the best, most reasonable way to fund any expenses that have to do with the installation of new water meters?
Well, Scott, technology is changing every day, and majority of the state of Texas has been swapping over to these AMI meters, these smart meters, and so this is the new wave that all municipalities are headed into. You know, there may be an initial cost up front. We're hoping in the long term it's going to be more efficient. It's going to be a cost-saving measure to our citizens and be more accurate in the end. So this is where technology is going. It's something we'll have to evaluate. We're looking at doing a retreat here in the next month or so, and those will be some of the items that we'll talk about and in the near future on the pros and cons of whether we should move forward with the AMI meters on the water side or hold off for a while. But probably, you know, we're looking at doing that probably the next 3 to 5 years.
Is there any advantage to the AMIs aside from the fact that you won't have to have somebody go out and manually read, from your view?
Well, you've got the advantages of technology there. I think the accuracy is another thing. Whether that's, you know, we've heard rumors that, well, our BTU bills are going up because these new meters are installed. And I've actually talked to several citizens here recently that have said, hey, you know, our bills have actually gone down. What's going on, you know? But the accuracy of the readings, and like I said, so we've got some old meters that have been out there, and, you know, whether they're showing high or low bills from time to time, I think that'll help. And again, technology changes, so there'll be more things that you can do with this technology that will be beneficial to our citizens.
But how about the water meter, AMI water meters? Same thing?
Same could be said for the water meters. Mm-hmm. Again, it's just an initial cost up front that we're going to have to figure out where that money's going to come from and how we're going to budget for that and then it'll be something that we'll look at as a council on whether or not we move forward.
I'm not familiar enough with the electric meters that BTU has installed, but I know that there are very similar meters. There are meters in California where they have looked at changing the rate based on the hour of the day that it is, having to do with usage and possibly controlling that. Do you know if these meters have that capability, and how would you feel about having a meter that would change the rate based on the time of day or season?
Well, depending on the time of day, will affect, you've got higher usage during certain times of the day, and then you've got lower usages at other times of the day. So if folks are sleeping at night and then get a lower rate, that's something that may be advantageous to our citizens. I think that's a good question for our administration at BTU, and Dan Wilkerson can better answer that question for you on the pros and cons on that end. But I'm assuming that those capabilities are there with this technology now or in the near future.
A couple of Mayor Jason Mayeski joining us this morning. A couple of longtime Bryan employees leaving. Mike Donahoe's announcement yesterday, and then Peter Sheets also leaving the city.
Yes, Assistant Chief Peter Sheets is our moving on to the big city of Hutto, Texas. The Hutto Hippos up there have got lots of friends in that area. That is
the fast-growing area.
It is a thriving, growing community there, and got probably one of the best-looking Walmarts in all of Texas if you haven't gone through there yet. But so we had had a little party and send-off for Assistant Chief Peter Sheets. I want to thank him for all he's done for the city of Bryan over the many years, and good man, good family there, and it's going to be missed. And but they've got a big asset coming to Hutto, so we look forward to visiting him in the future. And longtime chief Mike Donahoe retiring. I begged him not to go, and he's ready for retirement, ready for new challenges. He's been with us 34 years. They say he started when he was 20 years old. I think he was more like 13. But chief hasn't aged over the years. He looks the same, but his hair might have gotten shorter. But short of that. He's done a great job. We've, through his leadership and with the Bryan Fire Department, we added the fire station number 5, and he was big on safety and the equipment and protecting his men and women under him. And so he's going to be well missed. Got a retirement party for him next week. His official retirement date, I believe, is this Friday. And we've got Assistant Chief Randy McGregor that's in the interim basis right now, and our City Manager Keene Register will be in the process of looking at filling that position permanently.
And this is a guy who climbed the ranks. I mean, this is the only place he's worked.
He has started from bottom end of the triangle and worked all the way up to the top. So, a great success story for the city of Bryan. He will be missed. He had a great personality, enjoyed working with him, and I think everyone throughout the community enjoyed Chief Donahoe, but was involved with Task Force 1, went up to New York during 9/11 to assist and help there. So a good man with a good heart, and definitely will be missed, and we've got some big shoes to be filled there.
Yep. Anything else we didn't cover?
Well, a couple things. When you have in Mayor Pro Tem Ann Horton here in the near future, I want you to talk to her a little bit about her uniting of Cruz the pup with the family in Oklahoma.
Sure.
I'm going to leave that story up to her.
Okay.
She can better explain it to her, but that was a wonderful Christmas story that happened over the past few weeks.
Yeah.
But in segue into mentioning Bryan Animal Center is continuing with the free adoptions through January 20th. So if you can come down and adopt a dog or cat, and they'll spay, neuter them, all the shots, everything there for free through January 20th. Our Christmas gift back to the community, so to speak, but there's a lot of wonderful animals there that are looking for good homes. So amazed at all the wonderful pets that are there. So it'd be great if at all the shelters, if people go out and adopt as many as possible and find them good homes. So we want to mention that. And again, looking forward to 2012. A lot of wonderful things going on. If you still have Christmas trees around, you can put those to the curb. Make sure you get all your decorations and ornaments out of them on your bulk trash days, and the city of Bryan will pick those up, or you can take them out to our landfill at Twin Oaks on Highway 30, and they'll actually give you a tree sapling, I believe, if you bring in your tree there to recycle. So it's about that time. I think people are starting to take down their trees, but wanted to wish everyone a happy new year.
All right, we'll move on from there. Thank you.
Thank you, Scott.
You bet. Jason Bayansky, the mayor of Bryan. We visit with the mayors on alternate Wednesdays on WTAW.